What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, a lot to get into on today's show, but first we're going to start with the news that the Chargers have decided to part ways with cornerback Trevor Williams. Obviously, he was the starter a couple of seasons ago and got injured and was never able to come back for the team. He was on injured reserve this season, and it was unlikely he was going to come back as one of the players who returned from that injury. So the Chargers have cut bait with Trevor Williams, the former undrafted free agent, and have decided to move forward with the guys that they have. So we'll start with that, and then we'll get into what we always do on Tuesdays, and we'll look at what went wrong in this game and then end the show with what went right, because there were still some positives in this game, even though they were few and far between. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The news today is that the Chargers have decided to cut former undrafted free agent cornerback Trevor Williams, who was the starter in 2017 and had a great season. But ever since the start of the 2018 season, he has been injury riddled and has been unable to help the Chargers on the field. Another unfortunate move that the Chargers had to make. The Chargers know the talent that Trevor Williams brought to the table. He was an invaluable piece to this defense, and especially this secondary, really bringing this secondary to the next level, having him and Casey Hayward on the outside and Desmond King on the inside was really good for the Chargers and helped them do a lot of things defensively that they haven't been able to do since. But David, it was a move that is not very surprising just because he was on injured reserve. He was only on a one-year contract. So it does seem as if the Chargers are saying they are now ready to move on from Trevor Williams. Obviously, they can't bring him back because he was on injured reserve, so we'd have to go back there. But now another team can pick him up. But as far as the Chargers go, this is a big blow, David, because right now the Chargers are extremely thin at cornerback. We saw that with Brandon Faison on the field, and it's just another very talented player that could not get healthy for the Chargers, and they have to let him move on.
I think we were all very excited about the prospects of a really good camp battle between Trevor Williams and Michael Davis going into this season to see who was going to start opposite of Casey Hayward. But unfortunately, because of Trevor Williams' nagging injuries, that battle never materialized. And now the Chargers are stuck with a very, very thin position at cornerback. I mean, if somebody goes down, it's going to be catastrophic for the Chargers. But on the flip side for Trevor Williams, the idea that he would, you know, have a chance to come back with the other people on IR was probably going to be slim to none just because there were more important pieces that were ahead of him on the pecking order. This gives him an opportunity to go try to get signed by another team and try to kind of start over with a new team and see if he can stay healthy.
He definitely needed kind of a new environment, a new beginning to try to restart his career, really. I mean, coming from an undrafted free agent out of Penn State to becoming a top 10 corner in the league by Pro Football Focus is no small thing by any means. He had an 88.5 overall grade and an 88.2 coverage grade in 2017. The last year, he was a full-time starter. And the most impressive thing I saw about it is that when quarterbacks had more than 2.6 seconds to throw, he had the lowest passer rating allowed at just 10.4, which really just shows you how deadly he was. He was really good near the end zone and red zone as well and helped the Chargers out a lot there. And there's no getting around the fact that the Chargers had a pretty good corner in Trevor Williams. And now, because of injuries, like many Chargers before him, is unable to come back to the team and help them. So the Chargers did do the right thing, I think, by releasing him. He will have a chance to go and tag on with another team once he gets healthy. They couldn't really afford to have him as a player on the active roster, and so they had to put him on IR. But we are really not sure when he's going to come back from the injury that he was suffering from during training camp and obviously into the season. The Chargers are extremely thin at corner, like we've said. And the next guy up right now is Brandon Faison, which puts you back in this scenario where you're just one injury away from going back to a defensive back unit that got shredded when Michael Davis wasn't out there. Davis has been really good in his return. The Chargers have brought in a few guys, none really noteworthy, and some haven't even stuck around. But the Chargers need help at corner, David, because if they go the rest of the season with this group right now, they're just one injury away from being much worse than they are right now.
An injury to either Michael Davis or Casey Hayward would be absolutely catastrophic. I mean, of course, Desmond King in that as well. I mean, as he is one of the best slot corners in the NFL. But any scenario that sees Brandon Faison on the football field for extended snaps or an extended period of time is not any recipe that you want to see right now. Unfortunately, you know, we saw with his play out there, he's not ready for a starting role. He just got abused multiple times while he's out there. So unfortunately, there's no reinforcements on the way either, not at the cornerback position. So if they get hurt, it's going to be game over for that position for probably the rest of the year.
It's just another position group that's been ravaged by injuries. We've seen it catch up to the Chargers with the safeties already and other position groups that haven't performed well because of a guy playing who necessarily wasn't ever supposed to really get meaningful time on the field. But if you're the Chargers, you have to take a deeper look and look at the depth that you're putting on this team. We've seen a lack of depth at safety. We've seen a lack of depth at offensive line and just a lack of overall quality talent. So the Chargers need to rethink the way they're building these teams, because you can't expect the Chargers not to get injured. You have to plan around the injuries and know that you have someone good to back these players up when their time comes, when they have to step onto the field. So no help coming anytime soon for Chargers at the cornerback position. Hopefully they get some other players back when they come back from IR, maybe Hunter Henry this week. But the Chargers need to get healthier, and they need it to happen right now. And that's really just not the way things work. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about first what went wrong, and then we'll go ahead and get into what went right to wrap up the show, because there's been a lot of negativity around here, and obviously so after the game that we all had to witness over the weekend. But there were some things that we get to talk about at the end that I am a little bit excited to talk about. But first, we need to tell you guys, if we're talking about getting excited, we can only be talking about one thing, and that is BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And since they're made in the USA, they're much cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. Talking about improving your game in the bedroom, guys, if you can improve your game in the bedroom so much that your girlfriend's willing to let you go buy a new car, I know the exact place that you need to go, and it's Metro Infinity right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. And during those 25 years, they're the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like coming into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. If you guys go in there and tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you, they will give you an extra $500 off any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, guys, these guys get it. If you are thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for a new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. And they also have 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis as well. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at MetroInfinity.com. Go in now, guys, and tell them Locked On sent you. You can get $500 off that new car today. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment. Talking, of course, again about what went wrong in this game. And, of course, there's so many things to get into that we could probably fill three segments with it. We already talked about some of the things that caused the Chargers to lose this game yesterday. But today we're going to be getting more into just exactly the alarming trends that you saw from the Chargers in this game, whether it's not being able to run the ball, costly mistakes, not being able to cash in when you have good opportunities. There's a thousand things you could get into as far as what went wrong in this game. But first, I take a backseat because we have the expert in all things wrong. John Kegley is in here today. John, do you have anything to rant about in this game? I mean, it's a very rantable game. There has to be something that's cooking with John Kegley that he just can't wait to get off his chest as far as what went wrong in this game.
Oh, no, no, it was nothing but positive stuff. I got nothing to rant about today. It is opposite day, so I could say that, right? But I got a lot of stuff to say, but I don't think we have enough time in this segment, so I'll go with the one that bothers me the most, and that is our predictable play calling. The Broncos knew what was coming, and we still did not try to do something different. The Broncos were shadowing all of our receivers' routes, and they had one guy spying, waiting for Eckler to come out of the backfield on a swing route. They basically wanted you to throw the swing route to Eckler. And right when that happened, a guy would charge after Eckler. By the time Eckler caught the ball, Eckler would have like maybe 6 yards to work with. And the Broncos defenders were disciplined enough to just stay square and follow him where he goes and hold him to a 4 or 5 yard gain and make them try to beat them somewhere else. And it forced Rivers to force the ball, throw high throws to Mike Williams that led to interceptions. The play calling just needs to start changing a little bit. You need to start being like Madden. I feel like I'm watching Madden players, the guys that use the same 7 plays over and over again because they work.
And I think in this game, we saw the Chargers' game plan of, hey, let's just throw to Austin Eckler around the line of scrimmage and let him do the rest, come back and blow up in their face. Because, yes, that's a good thing every once in a while, but when you have 15 catches for under 90 yards and no other players had 15 catches for under 100 yards and I think over 50 years, that's just not acceptable. And at some point, you have to kind of get away from that. And the Chargers didn't do that in this game. And those stats are even fudged because Austin Eckler caught a couple passes on the last drive when the Broncos were basically playing prevent defense. I mean, his yards were actually much lower than even what they were at the end of the game, and that includes their total yards, which up until the last drive they had where it was a 10-point game with no time left for the Chargers to realistically come back, the Chargers had 185 total yards of offense that late in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just, those are unacceptable numbers, David. You cannot have an offensive showing like that. Phillip Rivers goes 32 for 48, so you look at that and you're like, okay, like 32 for 48, that's 67% passing. That's pretty good. And it's until you realize he only has 211 yards because of it. I mean, Phillip Rivers only averaging 4.4 yards per attempt. That's the problem. Where's the average depth of target? Where's the targeting guys in the middle to deep down the field? There was none of that in this game. You saw Mike Williams actually play some part of that role, and we'll talk about that and what went right, because I thought he had a pretty nice game. But besides that, David, everything was behind the line of scrimmage. And once again, Phillip Rivers has huge struggles with the Broncos and throws 2 interceptions, making a bad decision seemingly every other time he tried to go more than 5 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely terrible. I mean, just horrible offense. But for me, from what I saw that went wrong, was you gave up 191 yards rushing to the Broncos, and 115 of those came from Philip Lindsay on just 15 carries. That's over a 7.6 yard per carry average. I mean, he was just shredding the Chargers. That was one of the keys going into this one, was stopping him before he gets going. That absolutely did not happen, and they lost as a result.
Well, and that's what I had said, you know, in the shows leading up to the game was, hey, going into this game, it's not as if the Broncos have this high-powered rushing attack. They were very mediocre running the ball. But when you go up against the Chargers defense, it gives you a chance to really make an unspectacular unit look really good. And I think that Phillip Lindsay is a good running back. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but the Chargers run defense and tackling in this game was abysmal. Rayshon Jenkins on that last play, the big chunk run that Phillip Lindsay got that set them up in field goal range, Brayshon misses a huge tackle right there in the hole and lets him really break that before somebody makes a touchdown saving tackle. So that's really terrible. And going to the flip side of that, John, let's talk about the Chargers running the football themselves, because this was the return of Melvin Gordon, the running back who averaged over 5 yards per carry last season, going up against a rush defense that was one of the worst units in the league. And the Chargers did not stick with it. Austin Ekeler only gets 3 carries for 7 yards on 2.3 average. You have Melvin Gordon, 12 for 31 yards, a 2.6 average. Going into the game, I said the Chargers might struggle to stick with the running game. And when you get down 14-0, that's always going to dictate it. But you cannot win these games with Phillip Rivers putting the ball up 48 times and throwing it behind the line of scrimmage every time. And Melvin Gordon going out there 12 for 31 at 2.6 yards per carry. You just can't have that, John. And the Chargers once again abandoned the game plan. They had something they might have been able to exploit, and they got away from it and were willing to give that up and become a totally one-dimensional offense.
Yeah, you can't go away from a balanced offense. I saw a stat back when Mike McCoy was still the coach that showed when Phillip Rivers and the Chargers offense are a lot more balanced when it comes to running and passing, the Chargers were able to put more points up on the board. And it showed today when Rivers has to throw the ball over and over again, he can't always lead the team up and down the field, especially with the play calling we have. But all the injuries we have, who's going to be the guy that steps up? Travis Benjamin caught one ball and he couldn't catch the rest. There were guys that were trying to get open deep and got past interference calls on them because the Broncos defenders knew that they were beat and that was going to be a touchdown, but they were smart and they dragged the guy down and said, we'll live to fight another day. And the Chargers weren't able to capitalize. Eventually you have to establish that run game and make the linebackers have to stay a lot closer to the line because you have to account for the running back if it's a running play, but we had no running offense at all. So the linebackers were just able to sit back and guard all of our tight ends. Any receiver that was coming across, we couldn't use our crossing routes because the linebackers were there waiting for it. We had no ability of making a play because we were predictable. If it was going to be a pass or a run, they knew what it was going to be. And if you happened to run it underneath them, if they were like, oh, crap, it is a run, I didn't see that coming, they still shut it down. The Chargers need to stick to what works. And if it fails the first 2 or 3 drives, stick with it. You were only down 14-0. You have a whole game to score 2 touchdowns and tie the game. You have to stick with it.
Well, and they really did have a lot of time because they basically kept the Broncos at 17 till the very end of the game. All they had to do was get past the 17 points where they dropped 10 points in the first half. That should have been 10-17 at half at the worst. But of course, that's not how everything shakes out. And I think when you look at this game from a big picture perspective, you have just a lot of questions. I mean, the answers at safety are not there right now. I thought the linebackers had a very poor game, Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman. I liked what I saw out of Drew Tranquil when he was out there. I liked what I saw out of Kazir White. But those other two guys who are supposed to be able to step in there and stop the run, I just didn't see it. And when I watch other football games that around the NFL and I see these linebackers that are willing to get up there and shoot a gap and meet a running back in the backfield, it just shows me all of the lacking that the Chargers linebackers have given us so far this season. I mean, that used to be Denzel Perryman. In this game, he just got left in his shoes for a big gain. It's just not enough out of the Chargers linebackers right now, because I thought a couple of the defensive linemen actually had pretty good games, and that's in a game where you allowed 190 rushing yards against you.
They had a slow start, though, Daniel. I mean, the defensive line got pushed around, especially early in this one, and they didn't find their footing until well into the second half.
Well, I wouldn't say well into the second half. I thought the second half was just a completely different Chargers defense. I thought late in the second half is when they actually started getting pushed around again, and when you saw the big runs by Philip Lindsay. But what do you expect the Chargers defense to do in the second half at that point when they kept giving the ball back to the offense and the offense couldn't give them more than 2 minutes of rest because they were too busy going three and out? The three and outs in this game, the amount of times that the Chargers defense set the Chargers offense up for success after, of course, the initial onslaught of 17 points, it was just ridiculous. And the Chargers continued to not cash in on their chances. They continue to make costly mistakes in the red zone and turn the ball over in the red zone. You have a fumble out of the end zone and Phillip Rivers throwing an interception on the 2-yard line. That is not going to win you any games. I mean, against even bad teams. So the Chargers have a lot of things that went wrong in this game. Like we said, we don't even have enough time to cover all of them, but we do have one more segment to get into talking about what went right in this game coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, talking about what went right in the Chargers' 20-13 loss against the Broncos. And I will say that what went right has to basically be exclusively in the second half, because almost nothing went right for the Chargers offensively or defensively in the first half of this game. I mean, going into halftime 17-0, giving up two touchdowns on the first two drives by your defense is just not going to win you a lot of games. But there were things that went right. And the one good thing that happened in the first half was Uchenna Nwosu, David, who got a strip sack of Joe Flacco when the Ravens were knocking on the door, potentially making it a 21-0 game. Uchenna gets in there for a strip, gets Joe Flacco. And I thought that Uchenna Nwosu played really well in this game. His total stat line, even though it's good, probably doesn't tell the whole story, but a sack, two tackles for loss, two QB hits, a strip, and also seven tackles to go along with five solo tackles. Stepping in for Melvin Ingram, Uchenna Nwosu was actually more productive than Melvin Ingram was. As tough as that is to say, he wasn't trying to use the spin move a lot. He was just getting around the tackles for the Broncos and getting in the face of Joe Flacco, and he affected several plays even when he didn't end up getting to the quarterback.
You're absolutely right. And Uchenna Nwosu said before this game is, you're going to see some of my flavor out there on the field. He wouldn't give away what exactly that meant, but I think we saw it. I mean, one of the things that Uchenna Nwosu is starting to kind of have a knack for is to really swat that ball out or knock that ball out of the quarterback's hands. He's done that on a couple of different occasions, made just massive plays. He did it against Lamar Jackson last year in the playoff game, did it again
sealed
here.
The game.
Absolutely, another just a monumental play. That's what I want to see, and I want to see that paired with Melvin Ingram. I want to see all of those guys rushing at the quarterback with Joey Bosa all at the same time. Just bring their own unique flavor, their own unique style. And, yeah, I absolutely loved his play. I mean, he definitely showed his athleticism, and he was all over the football field. For me, I'm going to switch over to the offensive side, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, but it was really nice to see Mike Williams get back involved in the game plan and, you know, made some really good catches. I mean, he really helped, you know, move the chains forward, which he was really the only receiver that did so, Daniel. He had six receptions for 74 yards and a long of 13. But he, like I said, he just continuously moved the ball down the football field and coming back from injury. And also, since Keenan Allen got pretty much bottled up in this one, it was good to see somebody step up.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike Williams was the only person that was getting anything, I mean, more than 5 yards down the field. I mean, Travis Benjamin has one catch for 13 yards, but that doesn't really count for anything. Austin Ekeler averaged 5.7 yards per reception. Keenan Allen averaged an abysmal 4.5 yards per reception. He probably should have been what went wrong, too, even though we know what Denver was doing to try to really take him away, and it worked very well against him, I should say. And that's going to be the game plan going forward for these other teams. But you're right, Mike Williams in this game, especially after seeing him go down and have to go to the sideline, and you're just thinking, oh my God, they brought him back too soon. He's going to be more injured than he was before, and actually came back into the game and did better than he was before he went out with the injury. So you needed to see that out of Mike Williams. There's still a couple of plays that he left out there, but I think seeing six catches from him after we haven't seen more than three in any single game this season is a really good sign. You'd still like to see them maybe take a shot at him in the end zone, John, when you get down to the 2-yard line. I mean, you have Mike Williams, your red zone offense is struggling, and the Chargers didn't even try to really throw the ball up to him and give him a chance at a fade or something he can bring down, because that's where he really has a big advantage near the red zone over these smaller cornerbacks. But this is what went right, Dan. This is what went right. Get back on track. Anyways, I thought it was a really encouraging sign for Mike Williams. And I thought it was a very encouraging sign as well, John, seeing Desmond King get back to what he did last season, taking a punt return back to the house. He was the third best punt returner last year in average yards per return and had a touchdown last year as well. And we got to see it against the Broncos this week, John. And it's really good to know that you have a guy back there that, you know, once or twice or three times a season is going to maybe take one back to the house, but not just taking it back to the house, but continually setting the Chargers up with good field position. And Desmond King has a chance to do that every single time he gets his hands on the ball.
One thing I would argue about that, Wade, is Desmond King doesn't always have an ability to bring it back to the house unless he has a bunch of space. If you give him like 10 yards, he's not going to make much happen with it. But if you give him like 15, 20 yards like he did, because the punt that he had was a wobbly line drive, kind of like the Steelers punt from last year, he can make something happen. If you give him the space to actually look and see what he wants to do, he can make something happen. The Chargers special teams is not that great at blocking, so I don't see it as Desmond King every time he touches the ball has a chance to return it. But he has that ability if he gets the blocking to give him at least maybe 15 to 20 yards. Just OSB is in front of him. If you could block the guys to the sides that are like 5 yards, 10 yards away from him and give him a chance to run forward for 15 yards, he'll know what to do. And his punt return can also be a game changer, as it was in this game. When he did that, it was a momentum boost. The defense started playing better, which is my thing that went right, is the defense somehow kept us in the game. Despite the offense not performing, they were still making the plays we needed, the turnovers we needed, the sacks we needed. And a lot of that happened after Desmond King's punt return for a touchdown was when we started getting the sacks and more turnovers. So you kind of wonder, do we need to start investing in our special teams a little bit more to create some boosts? Because the offense is not performing as well as we'd like this year, even though Keenan Allen has his games. But when Keenan Allen wasn't there, we saw what happened. And the defense has its early struggles. We've seen what has happened, like the Lions game. The offense is just not on the field to get momentum, but the special teams can make a difference.
The special teams can make a difference. And the frustrating part of it, John, is you kept two guys, Jeremy Davis and Nick DeZubner, specifically on this roster just to bring you special teams value. And I think as far as coverage units go, the Chargers have been okay covering punts, covering kickoffs so far this year. But you're right, the Chargers need more out of their special teams. I think Desmond King, even, I mean, he's had some pretty good returns called back by penalties as well, but he just has a way of finding his way through traffic and seeing things kind of open up ahead of him and getting really good returns. And he's just someone that makes the other team have to think about it when they punt to him. Hey, do we really want to give it to this guy right in the middle of the field with a chance to return it? And it's nice to have a guy like that back there. But I did like that a lot, what the Chargers did defensively, specifically in the second half. I mean, keeping the Chargers over and over again in this game, Kazir White with the interception, Uchenna and Wosu with the strip, and
Jerry Tillery with the sack.
Jerry Tillery with the sack as well, and the Chargers just getting, I mean, multiple three and outs in the second half and giving the ball back to the offense. I know at the end it looks bad giving up that big run, and that was unacceptable, and they ran a good play against the blitz that the Chargers called, but the Chargers in the second half, especially defensively, deserve a lot of credit for what they did in this game.
There's also something that I wanted to mention, because I brought this up in Derek Watt's rookie year, that I wanted to see him used in the passing game more. And we used him in the passing game more in this game this week. And I liked that. I thought that was something that went right. It was something new that we haven't done a lot. When we used him more than once. Other times that we've used him, we've thrown one pass to him. He's caught it, ran like 20 yards, and that was it for even the rest of the season. This game, we threw it to him multiple times. And every time he had ability to catch, turn, and run. So I want to know what you guys think of making him part of the offense more and making that a new thing so it's not as predictable as before.
Yeah, I like having Derek Watt on the field. You don't want to have him there just because Melvin Gordon can't read a hole, but it is nice having a fullback on the field, especially when they can catch, because it can keep the other defense in their base package, keep those extra linebackers on the field and create mismatches for your offense. You don't necessarily get that when you spread it out and go into shotgun and they have a bunch of DBs on the field and you can't necessarily make them pay for that. That gives you another good alternative to find some more creativity in the offense. And when the Chargers only have two big victories this season, we have to find the little victories in a bad game like this. And there was some positives, but overall, not a good week for Charger fans. But there is still time to improve. It's a long season, and we've seen crazier things happen. And we've seen much crazier things happen than the Chargers, you know, getting back into the thick of the playoff race this season. But they're definitely going to need to have some guys come back. But we will be back with you guys tomorrow on the crossover episode of the week. This week, talking with Locked On Steelers about this weekend's game after they just lost their quarterback last week to a gruesome injury, a head injury to Mason Rudolph. So we'll talk with him about that tomorrow. But until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. So you can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there as well. We are going to be doing Fan Mail Friday this week. We have two voicemails already that we're going to play on that show. If you guys want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call into 323-524-7924 at the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we're back with you guys tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.